Lord, thank you for all you're doing in each and every heart and each and every life here this morning. Father, thank you for the increase, for the new thing that you're doing with this church, with this body of believers. May we continue to seek you now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I'm thankful to be here this morning, what God's doing. Wednesday night, I talked to the youth, we had a really good service. You know, our youth group has about tripled, hadn't it, Keaton? Tripled in the last month. And so we're waiting for that to happen here with the adults, but I believe it's coming in our class though. We was talking about Jesus and when he fed the multitudes with the few loaves of bread and the two fishes, and the increase came after Jesus gave thanks. That's when the increase came, is when Jesus gave thanks. And so I told him Wednesday night, I said, let's continue to thank God for the growth in the youth. Let's continue to thank God for the growth coming to Coop Prairie. Spiritual, physical, in whatever way, God, I believe, wants to do something great with our church. But the increase came when the thanks was given. That's not the message this morning. Romans 12:2 is, I'm going to read one verse, then we're going to go to Matthew 21. So you can take your pick of where you want to go. But Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. The main part that I want to talk about here is, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. That's hard. That's hard to think about, to not go along with society, to not go along with the way that this world does things, the pattern that they do things. And we as Christians, we as believers, the Bible says that we're aliens here, that this isn't our home, that this isn't where we belong. But yet so often we feel so comfortable right in the middle of all of it. To conform. I didn't look up the definition of conform, but when I think of conformed, I think of something being shaped and molded to fit. Something that begins to pattern itself after what it's seen. To conform is to become more and more like something. And so often, see, we're so much like the world. And when we become Christians, when we become believers, then we're to have a new heart, a new mind. And so we're no longer to conform to the pattern of the world, that what's going on here, what we see, what the world says is what I see, what I taste, what I smell, what I can touch. But what we as believers should worry about is, what's the Holy Spirit saying? What's going on in the spiritual realm? What's going on? Is God working in our life? Is God directing me to do this even when it makes no sense? The renewing of your mind. We've talked about that at length. But how often our mind is just like the world, but we're not to conform to that pattern any longer. I remember a commercial this made me think of it, and I don't know how many of y'all remember the commercial. It was like, it's like a conveyor belt of people, of line of people, and they're all going to the cash registers and they're hitting their credit cards one after another, and the line just keeps moving, the line keeps moving, and there's like, it's been a while since I've seen the commercial, but it's like a huge line of people, and they're just going and click, click, and then they go, and click, click, and they go, and then all at once someone pays with cash. And the whole line stops and everybody's disruptive and just gasps. Someone's paying with cash instead of the credit card. Well, what's that trying to tell you and sell you? use credit cards to be like everybody else. Well, I want to be the one that's paying with cash that's disrupting everything. I don't want to conform to the pattern that this world says that I should be or that you should be. Now, Matthew 21, verse 9. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from the Nazarene in Galilee." The whole city was stirred. They were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David!" They were excited. They were joyful. They were celebrating. Here comes Jesus. He's entering our city. You guys might be going, "Pete, what are you talking about? Conforming to the pattern of this world and then shouting Hosanna?" The crowds, what were they doing? They were excited. The city was in a stir. All this was taking place. All this was going on. But you jump over just a few chapters in Matthew 27, verse 15, and it says, "Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, 'Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?' For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, 'Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him.' But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed." "Which of the two do you want me to release?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." Now that has an exclamation point there. So it was probably more like, "Crucify him!" These are the very people that just a few short chapters ago was all excited and all full of joy, shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" You fast forward just a little bit and they're shouting, "Crucify! Crucify!" The pattern of this world. The pattern of this world. See, this is how it relates to me and you, is going along in that credit card line, going along with the world, going along with what the world says. This is good this week. This is bad that the next week. This is great. This is terrible. You know, they went from Hosanna to crucify. Verse 23, "Why, what crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" You know, it's easy to go with the crowd. Things in the news over the last couple of years that's happened. And I get things messed up in my head sometimes. And I'm not racist. I have black friends. I have Asian friends. I have Indian friends. I don't even know what's all in me. I'm kind of like a mutt, I think, or the puppies, which probably most of us are. You know, you got a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But something's happened, and I don't know if it's always been this way. It probably has, but crowds getting mad and upset, just to get mad and upset, and over falsehood. When the young black man that was killed in St. Louis, and I can't remember if that's been 2 or 3 years ago, and the whole city is shouting and in an uproar. And this police officer, one person had said that these two black boys were just walking down the street, and the police officer come and basically attacked them. And the one young man was killed, and all over the news, they're showing this smiling picture of this young, innocent-looking black man. and this great big grin. How could he be shot? How could he be killed? And they're burning the city and they're turning over cars and they're rioting. He was doing nothing but walking down the street. And it was all based on a lie. He just had robbed a convenience store and punched the clerk behind the desk, and he's inside the cop car beating the policeman with his fist. And the cop had no choice and finally had to pull his gun. But nobody wanted to hear the truth. They wanted to destroy. They wanted to protest. The cop was never charged with anything. It said that he acted justly. He had to quit his job because there was so much hatred towards him. And it's happened time and time again. And is there corrupt cops? Yes. But now, any time anything happens, the cops are being blamed. The crowd. Crucify him! Crucify him! Jesus had done nothing wrong! But what did the crowd do? Crucify him! Crucify him! Verse 24, when Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It's your responsibility. All the people answered him, let his blood be on us and on our children. The crowd had stirred him up so much. Can I tell you something? If we're not careful, the pattern of this world will stir us up. Will get us going in a direction that we don't need to go from our schools, our colleges, our jobs, our news organizations, the newspaper that you read, and it'll get you heading in a direction. You know, I used to follow politics and all that. I don't anymore. Because why? Because you watch this news channel and Trump's a hero. You watch this news channel and Trump's a goof that's screwing everything up. You know, you who do you believe? There's so much falsehoods. There's so much lies. See, we need to quit conforming to the pattern of this world. And what we need to do is get on our knees and open up the Word of God and begin to pray and begin to seek the Lord and not go by what Pete says, not go by what Tim says, not go by what Kyle says, but go by what the Word of God says, not go by what Fox News is reporting, not go by what CNN is reporting, but begin to seek truth. Begin to seek real truth. And not conform to the pattern of this world of just give me, teach me, and never spending time with the Lord ourselves. Are we following the crowd? Are we following the pattern of this world? We're going all the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 30 now. Deuteronomy 30 verse 15. And it says, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. You know, you guys remember the old TV show Win, Lose, or no, it wasn't Win, Lose, or Draw. What was the one that they opened up the curtains and they had to pick the door? Let's make a deal, yeah. And what was it? You could open up this curtain and there might be a brand new car behind it. I didn't watch the show much, but I remember one time they opened up the curtain and there's like two billy goats and the person's just like, oh, you know, they gave up the car and they got the billy goats instead, you know, and see, you know, the thing is with that show, you never knew what was behind the curtain, right? You might win big, you might lose big. But the Lord doesn't have that hidden curtain for me and you. But we do have a choice. Is it this door or is it this door? See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. I think all of us would say, I choose life. I choose prosperity. Who would really choose death and destruction? Verse 16, for I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering. Now wait a minute. Life and prosperity means following the Lord, but that means I can't go out and party. That means I can't go out and sleep around. That means that kills all the fun. Where's the fun in that? And see, that's the pattern of this world. That's how so many people think. They don't want death and destruction, but they want to party. They want to live it up. They want to increase. But in worldly things. Verse 17 says, but if your heart turns away and you're not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. You bow down to other gods. What's important in your life? What is your God? You say, oh Lord, you're my God, but really, what is it? Is it the pattern of this world? Is it the worldly thing? I'm not going to lie to y'all. I struggle. I still struggle terrible with materialism. I want. And if I allow myself, I'll buy and I'll go. Is it wrong to have? No. Is it wrong to have nice things and take care of them? No. But if that becomes your life, if that's what you're working for, if that's what you're consumed with, then it's become your God. And how many of us, we say we love the Lord, but does He really control us? Does He really have our heart? Has our mind been transformed to follow Him? You know what's amazing to me? Well, let me finish these last two verses here. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curse. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to His voice, and hold fast to Him. For the Lord is your life, and He will give you many years in the land He swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Lord is your life. You know what's amazing to me is how close life and death can be. You might be sitting next to somebody this morning that's death. When we were at Yellowstone, they had these walkways. It was about as wide as this aisle here. And it was amazing. And me and Hayden had walked down further to see these things. And it's basically underneath the ground. It's different volcanoes. It's different hot. It's acidic. It's all these different things coming up. But we're walking along this path, and I'm not lying, right here to the left of us is lush green grass, trees, forest, right here. And right here on this path is death and nothing. Nothing living, no plants, no anything, just some water bubbling up. How close life and death were. They're right there. If we walked, and me and Hayden was walking down the path, and I said, this is a sermon right here. And I said, look at it. And we were talking. They're bumping right up against each other. And it's no different for me and you. It's bumping right up against each other that we have a choice to make. Am I going to live for the Lord? Am I going to follow His command? Is He going to be my life? Or am I going to choose to follow my flesh, follow my desires, follow my wants? How often do we blow it? If you've blown it, I'm telling you this morning that Jesus, that His mercy and His grace is there to forgive you. And we can ask for forgiveness this morning, and we can say, God, help me get back on the right path.
But there's more to the story, because the Bible also says that those who are immoral, those who are corrupt, the drunkards, the idolaters, the sexually immoral, that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And see, what that's saying is if this is your pattern, if this is your life, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. I'm not making this up. That's what the Bible says. You will not inherit the kingdom of God if this is your life. But what does that say? Make God your life. Have you blown it? I've blown it. I struggle. But I pray and I hope that the pattern of my life will not be blowing it. That the pattern of my life will be making God God, and that He would be my life, and that I would follow the Holy Spirit's instructions. There's such a difference in who we as believers are supposed to be, that we're not supposed to be conforming to the pattern of this world. I'm not trying to bring condemnation on you this morning, but I'm trying to bring truth. And if you're living in the pattern of this world, something's up. Something's wrong. Something's not right. God's saying, you got a choice. You got a choice right now. The crowd, the pattern of this world is death, but God brings life. 1 Kings 18, verse 16. It says, so Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, Is that you, you troubler of Israel? I have not made trouble for Israel, Elijah replied, but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel, and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people said nothing. How long will you waver? Inactiveness. Not making a decision, not making a choice. Is living for the devil. It's the wrong choice. Are we going to make the decision here, church? Because I believe God wants to do something great with you. He wants to do something great with me. He wants to do something great with this body of believers. But we can't sit back and say nothing. The choice, life or death. The choice, your coworkers that you're working with every day, it could be your spouse, it could be, you know, a child. I don't know, but there's people that make the choice to live for God, and there's people that make the choice to live for themselves and their pleasure. Or they just won't make a choice and they stand there silent. I think I told y'all the story about at UPS when I first got saved, and me and a couple guys started a Bible study on our break time there. And there was a lot of people began to come, and one woman had a fit, went and protested and called HR and everything else because she didn't want it taking place. And didn't think we should be doing that. But there was one guy there, and when they come around and was talking to us, he said, whoa, I'm just sitting back here listening. In other words, he didn't care one way or the other. He wasn't going to take a stand. I'm just kicked back. I'm just hearing what they got to say. You know, to me, that is so many Christians.
Don't get me. I'm not going to get into all that. Those radicals over there. No, I'm not part of that group. Oh, I just go once in a while. If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal is God, follow Him. But the people said nothing. Romans 6:16 says, don't you know that you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slave? You are slave to the one whom you obey. Whether you are slave to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. You might be really in your hearts this morning saying, Pete, I love the Lord. I wanna serve Him. I'm not all about false gods and idols and Baals and everything, but my question to you is, what are you rendering your body to? Because that's it. The proof is in the pudding, so to speak. The proof is in your life. What grabs you? What draws you? What do you work so hard for? What do you live your life for? And for many in America today, it's pleasure and it's things and it's self-indulgence. That's the pattern of this world. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you'll take up your cross daily. And for many of us, maybe today is a day that we need to begin to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and make the choice of life once again. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray for forgiveness for myself, Lord, as I've often wavered, as I've often desired things of the world more than you, Lord, and I pray for forgiveness for that. And I pray, Lord, that inside me there would be a renewal. Lord, as we talked about being lukewarm last week, that I would no longer be lukewarm, but that I would be on fire to serve you, and that this church would be on fire to serve you. Father, that we would make those decisions daily to choose life, to choose obedience, that we would have a hunger and a desire for your word, a hunger and desire for you, and Lord, that we would listen for your voice. Romans 12 said, do not conform to the pattern of this world any longer. And then we will be able to know what thy good and perfect will is. To know your good and perfect will for each and every one of our lives. Lord, not based on things, not based on money, not based on the pressure from the crowd. But that we would know your voice and know your will, and that we would choose to serve you. Lord, may the hearts in this sanctuary this morning be repented. Lord, may there be a renewal. As for me and my house, we will serve you. May there be a renewal in our heart, in our spirit, to be steadfast servants of you and only you. May we not be transformed by this world any longer, the pattern of this world. May you draw us out. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer for anything this morning, the altars are open. I would ask that you guys would remember Sharon and Tom in your prayers. You know, they've really been through it. Tom with his motorcycle wreck a few months ago, and Sharon has just been through texting, so I'm not really sure, but pretty much the gist of it is her Parkinson's is getting so bad that she couldn't even hardly walk this week, and he said he didn't know if or when they'd be back to church, but he asked that you guys would all pray for her. They put her on, they took her off medicine, and I don't know if they put her back on the old medicine or trying a new medicine or what, but y'all remember them in your prayers. Tom had asked if we would pray for them, and so this week, please pray for Tom and Sharon, and continue to pray for Mike. I'm thankful that he's here this morning after his accident, and you know, it's tough when you've gone through something, but it could have been so much worse, and so we're thankful Mike's here and he's doing good, and y'all keep lifting up him and his family also. So Bible study tonight, 6:30. See y'all this evening.